Well, in approximately the year 1000 BC, King David, the son of Jesse, a man from Bethlehem, wrote these words as he thought about the complexity of the human body. We've already heard it from that video that was shared earlier. But he wrote this, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well." Modern medicine has confirmed what King David naturally concluded when he thought about the miracle of life. And through medical studies and medical technology, we've been able to observe the incredible and mysterious growth of a baby in a mother's womb. I'm going to share some details with you about the development of a baby in a mother's womb. These are from the Mayo Clinic, and these are all fascinating about the miracle of life. Immediately upon conception, the fertilized egg begins to grow. There's life there right from the beginning. At week 5, after implantation, the baby's brain, spinal cord, heart, and other organs begin to form. And baby's about the size of the tip of a pen. And yet all those things are starting to grow, all those different organs. Week 6, a heartbeat is clearly detectable. Week 8, baby's eyes are visible and the face is developing. Week 15, the baby's bones begin to develop. Week 18, the baby begins to hear. In week 23, the baby has fingerprints and footprints. At week 32, the baby practices breathing. At week 33, the baby can detect light. At week 37, the baby's organs are now ready to function on their own, and the baby's considered full term. And the baby weighs about 6 pounds at this particular point, from a tip of a pen to 6 pounds. And at week 40, that's a typical time frame for the baby to be birthed. Today, we're recognizing the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And the word sanctity means holiness or sacredness. To put it simply, it means special. Life is special. It is unique. There's nothing like it. It is set apart. It's sanctified. But throughout history, human life, on many occasions, far too many, has been treated like a takeout food container. It's been used and crumpled up and then discarded. The first devaluing of human life that we see in history, recorded in the scripture, was when Cain killed his brother Abel, Genesis chapter 4. The Lord came to Cain and said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." When a person is shot on the street or stabbed outside a bar, we call it murder. When 6 million Jews and countless others are put to death in Nazi concentration camps, we call it Holocaust. When over 12 million people have been killed in the last 100 years in places like Turkey or Ukraine, China, Cambodia, Rwanda, Bosnia, Herzegovina, and Darfur, we call it genocide. When over 53 million children have been murdered in America since abortion was legalized in the Roe v. Wade case in 1973, and over 50 million children are aborted every single year in the world, we don't call it murder. We don't call it genocide. We don't call it a Holocaust. We call it choice. And if the voice of Abel's blood cried out to the Lord, then since that time, the voice of millions of men, women, and children have been shouting through a microphone, a megaphone, into God's ears. And when the cries of the oppressed reach the Lord's ears, he then moves in the hearts of his people to do something about it. So what will we do? That's what today's message is all about. First of all, we have to have the conviction that God created life, so therefore each life is valuable. That's the clear message I want us to hear today. Scriptures clearly declare that. But then also we need to take action to work to respect and then protect life. Also, to offer God's forgiveness and healing to those who need it. So let's take a look at this conviction, first of all, then take a look at the action. In your Bibles, Psalm 139, we're going to take a look at verses 13 through 16. The whole psalm is about God's all omniscience, his omnipresence, and his omnipotence. Today we're taking a look at his omnipotence, his all-powerfulness, we would say. The conviction that we need to have as believers in Jesus Christ is this. Every human life is valuable because God created life. I read verses 13 and 14 earlier. Let me pick up on verse 15. It says, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them." We're going to unpack that for a moment. We need to understand that human life is created by God. Look in your Bibles at verse 13. He says, "You formed my inward parts. You created my inmost being." The word there for formed or created is the word originated. You originated who I am. And the reason that God takes nothing and he makes something, and the only reason that there's something out of nothing is because there's a God who created. He originated. He initiated it. God is the one who creates life. It's an absolute miracle. So he says, "You formed my inward parts." The inward parts there means all of your internal organs. Everything inside of you, the inside stuff, God made it. We saw in the introduction, this begins at week 5. Everything is laid down, beginning to develop the brain, all the internal organs of the child. That early, after conception, everything begins to form within the child. It's amazing. The second part of verse 13 says, "You wove me in my mother's womb." If you think about this, there's many systems in the human body. If you're medically trained, you could probably name them off right now. But they're all perfectly positioned and work in harmony with one another. So, for instance, here's just a few. The circulatory system, the respiratory system, the muscular system, the skeletal system, the nervous system. There's many others, but they all are housed in a frame like this. They're all housed in your frame, and all these systems work together. Now, this is incredible. I learned this week, that the circulatory system of arteries, veins, and capillaries is about 60,000 miles long. That's incredible. All within our frame. And it all works together the way it's supposed to, in harmony with the other systems. How did that happen? We are fearfully and wonderfully made, verse 14. He says, "I'll give thanks to you. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." The word fearful is actually to mean to cause astonishment or awe. So David here considers life, and by the Holy Spirit, he says, "That's awesome. I can't believe all of this works together. And it's so complex, and yet it all operates in harmony and unity with one another. I'm awesomely made," he says. He says also, "I'm wonderfully made." The word means to be distinct or unique. Wonderful are your works. We think of all the people that have gone on this earth before. Now we're told that there's 7 billion people in the world, but every person is unique. Back in week 23, that's when the baby develops fingerprints and footprints, unique to that child. The vastness of God's creation is incredible, that there's not one person on the face of the earth who's ever been born who is the same. It's not like God has a pattern for all the Johns in the world. Okay, there's a billion Johns. There's 32,000 Lauras, you know. It's every person is unique. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And the complexity and unity of the human body should cause us to react as David did. In part of verse 14, he says, "I will give thanks." Verse 14, "I will give thanks to you." And then he says, "Wonderful are your works. My soul knows this very well." I think this underscores the fact that we recognize design. I look at this monitor up here, and I don't assume that by looking at this monitor that somewhere in a shop there was just these components. The shopkeeper came back in the morning, and all of a sudden it was together, and it performs a specific function that it's supposed to, and that all happened by a random chance. And yet this speaker is nowhere even near the complexity of a human body and all the parts that have to work in unity with one another. It's incredible. My soul knows this very well. I look at it and say, "That's designed. God made me." And that is a natural conclusion and a right conclusion. I give thanks to the Lord. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you. Literally, my bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret. God's omniscience is the ultimate ultrasound machine. You know, some of you ladies here in our midst are pregnant at this time. God is intimately acquainted with all of your child's development. Every single millisecond of it, God knows exactly what's going on. And he knows what that child will look like, height, weight, eyes, everything. It's all there. God is creating that child. Even when we can't see, God is right there knitting that child together in your womb. The second part of verse 15 says, I was skillfully wrought. I was made in secret. I was skillfully wrought or woven together in the depths of the earth. In the depths of the earth there means just in secret, in that dark place. We can't go into the womb. Every second, God knows exactly what's going on. The word there for skillfully woven is an embroidery term. If any of you do embroidery, I remember my grandmother, she would make quilts and she would make each little patch and she'd have it in the hoop there and she would embroider all those designs and all those smaller designs. When she put it together in the big quilt and you step back, it's like, wow, grandma, you created something incredible. But it took all those little itty-bitty detail parts that she introduced, the colors and everything, and brought it together. God is introducing those colors into the tapestry that he develops when he creates us. It's incredible. He also says in verse 16, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. That word unformed substance could be the word embryo. God sees our embryo right from the very beginning. He's there at all times. Second part of verse 16, and this should give us all a great comfort. In your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. God is in 100% control of our lives. He's got it all mapped out from the time that we are conceived until our natural expiration. God knows every bit of it, and that should give us great comfort. We'll talk more about that later. But he's written it all out there. God sees the end from the beginning. In fact, he's declared it to be. There's a creator who has designed us, and he's in control of life. And David says, this is awesome. This is awesome when I stop and consider all of these things. We see God's creation is clearly spoken of in these verses with words like made and formed and knit and woven. This is not happenstance. This is direct, detailed creation. So not only are we created by God, the Lord specifically, in Psalm 139 verse 1 says, O Lord, that is Yahweh, his personal name, God who wants to be known. I made you, he says. Not only are we created by God, but there's also this special creation that we need to understand is that we're created in God's image. So in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, we're told this. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Then verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so God created gender. Gender is incredibly unique and in the plan of God. We see this, that we are created in God's image. What's it mean to bear the image of God? A couple of things. To bear the image of God is to have the character of God. God can love. These are just examples. God can love, so therefore we can love because we have the stamp of his image on us. God is concerned about justice. There's this innate sense of justice in us. Compassion is the same. Righteous anger towards sin. That's a stamp of God's image. Intellect. God is intellectual. He thinks. He rations. And also, we can do that. And creativity. Think of all that God creates, and in our lives, he's given us the ability to create. You think of artists, you think of writers, people who can write. You think of a man or a woman in their wood shop, someone who lays bricks. We can create. That is a picture of the image of God stamped on our soul. The only reason we can create is because this is in the character of God, and he's endowed us with that. So character, but also dominion. We have dominion, or we have the authority to rule over. As God rules over all things, he's endowed humanity with the authority to rule and to create. That's why he's given us the earth to rule and subdue and to make cities and bridges and so on and so forth, to use it for our own good. So this is why God says this in Genesis 9:6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made them. So when there is a murder that occurs, you're not just killing a person, you're killing the image of God. You are judging the image of God or God himself as being unworthy of life and being garbage is really what happens when there's murder. And so you see the seriousness of this. This is being ramped up. This has been upgraded, the seriousness of this, us being created in God's image. So not only are we created by God, but we're created in God's image, and we are therefore valuable to God. Jeremiah 1:5 says this, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you, Jeremiah, as a prophet to the nations. I love that. Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew all about you. And so today God speaks and he says, Jason, before I formed you in the womb, I knew all about you. In fact, I ordained that you would live, and I've got a purpose for your life. Sharon, before I formed you in the womb, I knew all about you. And I've given you a purpose for your life. You see how valuable life is? And so in our society, when we discard life or treat it as it doesn't even matter, and if you think about television shows and murders and just the heinous crimes that happen, what is that doing? That's saying that human life is like that takeout container. Just use it, throw it away. It's not that big of a deal. That's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. So, every human life is valuable because God created life. We have to be convinced about that as believers. Let's go on now to the actions that naturally flow from this. And I wrote this down, is that we are responsible. We as humans are responsible, but specifically and especially Christians, we are responsible to respect and protect life. I'm going to talk about how we do that. First of all, respecting life. Backing away right now from the abortion issue or murder issue or anything like that. Let's back up and come back even to its basic meaning here about respecting life, because every person on the face of the earth has been created by God and is therefore valuable. Respecting life. What does this mean? It means that every child in the teacher's classroom is valuable because they were made in the image of God. Every customer that you ring up at the grocery store is valuable because they're made in God's image. Every slowpoke in front of you that you wish was off the road is valuable because they're made in God's image. Every patient that a nurse or doctor cares for at the office or hospital is valuable because they're made in God's image. Every member of the choir or the team that you're on at school is valuable because they were made in God's image. Every resident of a nursing home is valuable because they're made in God's image. And so the nerd, the geek, the jock, the loner, the awkward one, Mr. and Miss Popular, the poor one, the rich one, the immoral person, the goody two-shoes, the druggie, the bookworm, or Mr. or Mrs. Successful are all to be respected for the simple but enormous fact that they are unique creations of God himself bearing his image. That's the basic right of every person, is to be respected because of the truth, the conviction that God made every single person in his image. So let's talk about protecting life now. Because God created life, we must be against ending human life. And here's the various forms. First of all, suicide. Many people consider suicide. Many people follow through with it. But I want you to hear today, if that's you, I want you to hear that your life is valuable because you've been made in God's image. And nothing that you go through is too much to handle because God is there to help you, even when it doesn't seem like it. When you go through the difficulties in life, we have to understand that God's under ultimate control and that there is a purpose for the pain. It's hard for you to swallow, but there is a purpose for the pain. There's always a better day coming. And so that might be for you today, or that might be for a person that you know. There's always a better day coming. You've got to hold on. You are valuable because God made you. This moves into assisted suicide, but I'm going to move these two points together. Assisted suicide, euthanasia, as they call it in the state of Oregon, mercy killing, whatever. As we read in verse 16, this is tied to theological truth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. In your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not even one of them. So we talk about suicide or murder. It's up to God when we expire. And it is wrong for us to end our own life or another's life. It comes down to trusting that God has a purpose for what I'm going through. But now let's move on to abortion. This is also why abortion is wrong and is murder. Is because we've been created in God's image and therefore have value in our life. Abortion in our society has been sanitized because it's done in a clean operating room. Just like any other surgery, you go in to get your appendix out. You can go in and get an abortion. Not that big of a deal, only takes a few minutes. Pardon me a second. And to make us feel better about abortion, the baby's been named an embryo, a fetus, or just tissue. Tissue that does not have any viability just yet. It doesn't feel as bad for us to remove tissue from our body as it does to kill a baby. So I want to share with you a few things that we're not told about abortion. And this first part of what I'm going to share with you is gruesome. But we need to hear it. I studied this week, and I heard it before, but I was completely shocked about it. The methods of abortion. And these vary based on the stage of development of a child. But first of all is suction, where the baby is torn limb by limb away from the womb with a vacuum that's 29 times more powerful than a household vacuum. On the tip of this tube is a knife-edged tip. And when the baby's taken away from the mother's womb, it passes through this knife like paper going through a shredder, and is put in a bottle and discarded. Up another notch is dismemberment by forceps. The doctor reaches into the mother and takes the baby away from the womb and twists and pulls until the baby comes out part by part. Another is salt poisoning or saline injection, injected into the amniotic fluid of the mother of the child. This burns the baby, and then the baby is delivered in 24 hours, supposed to be dead, but in many cases, the baby survives. And at that point, they either take care of the baby or they just leave the baby unattended until it dies there in the room. Another one is C-section. This happens later in pregnancy. The child is removed by C-section. And then the cord is cut and the baby's left to die, suffocates. And then there's partial birth abortion, which is outlawed under President Bush, but the baby's pulled out. And a hole is jammed into the baby's head and its brains are sucked out. And I'm not making that up. This is barbaric. And in our polished, sophisticated, highly evolved society, we're doing these abominations, these atrocities every single day. It probably happens right here in Findlay. I haven't even mentioned different medications you can take to abort children. They don't tell us about that stuff. And there's the pain after abortion. Abortion is presented as a loving choice for the baby. You can't take care of the child, you know. It's better off if you just end its life right now. But women who've had abortions know that the aftermath is nothing but messy emotionally and spiritually, especially around what would have been the birth date of the child. One woman, I found this quote from her, she had 7 abortions from the time she was 15 on. She said, "The aftermath of abortion is horrendous. I was told it would be over real quick, but it lasted 27 years. Not once in 11 years was I told the emotional complications that an abortion can bring. Numbness, rage, never-ending mental anguish, the tormenting silence of guilt and shame. We mentioned Roe versus Wade earlier. Jane Roe is actually Norma McCorvey. She became a born-again Christian in 1995, and looking back, she now says, "I am so sorry that I filed that affidavit of Roe versus Wade. I long for the day that justice will be done and the burden from all these deaths will be removed from my shoulders." Well, not only is pain for the woman, but there's pain for the man, the family, or the friend who either encouraged the abortion or paid for the abortion to happen. They don't tell us that stuff. It's just a quick, easy choice, and then you can move on with life to do what you want. Why is there so much pain? Because that child is life. That child has value from conception because it's made in the image of God. It doesn't matter how small it is. It's a life being created and formed in the image of God. Now, also, maybe some of you in this room have had an abortion in your past, or you're considering right now, or you encouraged one or paid for one. You can find God's healing after an abortion. Please hear that today. Yes, it's wrong. Yes, I believe it's murder. Scripture tells us that. But murderers can be forgiven. We see that all over Scripture. Please receive these words from the Lord today, Isaiah 1:18. "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." Even my abortion? Yes. Even your abortion. Psalm 103, verses 11 and 12. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." God forgives, heals, comforts, redeems, and restores. I want you to hear that today. "Come to Christ. My arms are wide open," he says. "You're weary, you're burdened. I will give you rest. I will give you the forgiveness you seek." There's a website called healinghearts.org that offers Bible studies for post-abortion for women, but also for men. Many men suffer in silence with this, but you can go through a Bible study to help receive healing through the Scriptures and through Christ. I also want to encourage us today in action to fight for the unborn. And there's a bill before the Ohio Senate, which is called the Heartbeat Bill. And I'm actually going to ask Linda Tice to come forward now. And Linda Tice is going to tell us about the Women's Resource Center right here in town, a ministry that we offer. Or that we're partnering with. Many from you in this church have been involved. We have many of the key people from the Women's Resource Center that are here part of our church. And I'm going to have her come and tell us about Women's Resource Center. Come on up, Linda, and what they offer, and as well as this heartbeat bill that's before the Senate.
Thanks for the opportunity to spend just a few minutes talking about this today. I appreciate that Pastor Blair has delved into something that has affected our society for a very long time now. So I prepared some statements because I tend to do an off-the-cuff thing, which drives Lori crazy. But if I did that, you would be here till noon. So we put this all down, and I hope you don't mind that you listen to some prepared statements. A sincere thanks, of course, for the opportunity to talk with you about this moment, about the Sanctity of Human Life Memorial that will take place next Sunday all across our nation. In 1973, 7 of 9 Supreme Court justices voted in companion rulings of Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton to wipe out all the state laws that in any way restricted access to abortion. Abortion became legal at any time. In fact, right up to the moment of birth. As a result of these two decisions, abortion in the U.S. alone has claimed the lives of over 53 million children and has caused a lifetime of hurt and despair to many of their moms. Fear and lies of the enemy have hurt so many. At WRC, we are painfully aware of that hurt and shame and sadness, and it's our mission to share faith, to offer prayer, and to gather hope for the young women who come through our doors. Lori Turnow, as you know, is our executive director, and Lori excellently and faithfully executes our mission of bringing Jesus to each one who comes to us. I can report to you that we had over 1,000 client visits during 2011, some for free pregnancy tests, some for their monthly diaper points visits, and some just to talk. Because our services are free and confidential, many young women, and sometimes their boyfriends or their husbands, come to just chat or keep us informed of their progress or their latest setback. WRC's 13-year-old prevention program, the CARE program, that's Character and Relationships Education, is in every middle and high school in our city and our county and reaches over 2,500 students each year for a 5 to 10 year classroom session time. Though I act as the overall program director and work with high school and university students, Diane Paler directs our middle school program, and John Hart meets with our city eighth grade boys. We're so blessed to have had the opportunity to reach students with a message of truth and integrity and to present it from a Christian perspective in a secular setting. All this is to help the students as they formulate friendships and dating relationships in anticipation of leading them to a true covenant marriage one day. We're blessed to have so many strong supporters here at eFree as board members, volunteers, and prayer partners. If you'd like to join our ministry and find that perfect spot for you to help us save babies and hurting women, please just let us know. In addition to your continued prayer, we have need for volunteers, mentors, and possibly more teachers for next year. So watch for our fundraising events, as WRC's ministry to women is totally locally funded. As a matter of fact, as our baby bottle project is about to begin, you can take a bottle home to fill it up with change, bills, or checks to support our mission of helping Hancock County women. Our annual fall event is in the planning as well. Any suggestions for us are more than welcome. Our turkey trot on Thanksgiving actually came from Joe Distel and his family. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It was so fun. Please do pray and search your hearts as to the best way for you to be a part of our mission in 2012. Just a quick mention that Lori, Diane, John, and I will be offering our first Building Family Connections seminar the first weekend in March right here at eFree. And there will be more details to follow. You'll get that info. A quick update on the heartbeat bill, which has already passed the Ohio House of Representatives and remains stalled in the Ohio Senate. The bill, in short, says that if a baby's heartbeat is detected, the baby is protected from abortion in the state of Ohio. When it becomes law, it will be the most protective law in the entire nation and will save about 26,000 lives a year in our state alone. That's 70 babies every day, one every 20 minutes. This is huge, and we would ask for your continued prayer as we try to work our way through the Senate. Please encourage Senator Height, who has taken the lead in the Senate and is doing a wonderful job. His colleagues would like us to gut the bill and say that a mother seeking an abortion must be given the opportunity to hear her baby's heartbeat, but would then be able to go ahead and abort her baby. We already have informed consent laws in the state of Ohio, and that is not what this bill is intended to do. This bill is intended to work its way up to the U.S. Supreme Court and send the arrow that strikes at the heart of that Roe v. Wade decision of 1973. Next Sunday, January 22nd, will mark the beginning of the 40th year of a legally sanctioned practice in our country that has literally slaughtered millions of babies and has hurt their mothers in physical, emotional, and spiritual ways. It has to stop somewhere. We believe that this God-ordained bill will bring us out of a desert of hurt and despair. Our Christian duty is to offer positive solutions, hope, and healing through Jesus, and to make a change in the law that has devastated our people. Also, my dear friend Rochelle Heidelbaugh is leading an eight-week, totally confidential Bible study for post-abortive women called Surrendering the Secret that brings women through their pain and onto forgiveness from their Heavenly Father and themselves so they're free to move from pain to purpose again. If anyone you know needs to work through the hurt of abortion, please contact us at WRC and we'll be available to prayerfully and practically help in that process. So I thank you for your continued prayer as we move our way toward protecting the most innocent among us and their troubled moms. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God clearly says to us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. In verse 15, he goes on to say, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. God's blessings as we move through this next week and these next months. Thanks.
Thank you, Linda. So as I encourage you, as Linda has, to fight for the unborn, a few ways that we can do that. You've been educated this morning. I learned a lot this week. Hopefully it came out through me about what abortion does. The Heartbeat Bill. One thing that you can do is go to heartbeatbill.com, learn about it. On that website, there's a link for calling senators and such to voice your approval, affirmation's not the word, support for the Heartbeat Bill. And so you be informed of that personally. You go to that website and take a look at that. This is a chance for us to save the lives of 26,000 babies per year. And this piece of legislation, if passed in Ohio, when passed in Ohio, will set up for other states to adopt it also. And so it's a wonderful bill that can help reverse the tide of Roe v. Wade. So this is a great moment in history for us. That's why I'm telling you about it this week. We can be part of that. Also, the Women's Resource Center, Linda mentioned many ways that they're there to help and offer support for people. A Christian organization pointing people to Christ and giving wonderful counsel away from abortion towards adoption and all those types of wonderful resources. The baby bottle donations that were mentioned, and these are available in the foyer area just outside those doors. You can take this home. Wonderful thing to do with children if you have change around home or extra bills you can throw in here and bring it back to the church by February 12th. And it's a way to support the ministry that's going on there at the Women's Resource Center. So this all begins with being convinced that God creates life and life is valuable. This whole issue of abortion, it's not political, it's moral, okay? This comes down to who God is and how he's created us and our value because of God creating us. We, at the very least, are to respect life by treating other people with kindness and remembering that that person, no matter what background they have, come from God, are valuable in the image of God, made in the image of God, and then also protecting life, as we talked about, through the Heartbeat Bill. Also, you've learned of some resources this morning. Maybe you've got a friend who's considering abortion, and you could point them towards the Women's Resource Center. I remember one time pastoring there in Michigan, I got a call one day, and the woman said, she's talking about some difficulties, and she's pregnant again. She said, well, it doesn't really matter anyways. I'm just going to have an abortion. And I said, because I knew about the pregnancy center in town, I knew about that. I said, whoa, wait a minute. That was my response. And I walked her through the value of life. God created that baby. Let's get you some help. And then she turned out that she was able to give that baby up for adoption. But all because I knew about that center in town and I was informed about the value of life. I said, wait a minute. Let's think this through. And so you can do the same. But also receiving God's forgiveness and healing. I want you to hear that today. Here at the church, we're available for you to speak with Pastor Dave, myself. Also, we can refer you to the Women's Resource Center and the resources that they have, too. But you can offer that to friends also who may be struggling. And so today's message is about the value of human life and that there is help out there for us as Christians to do something about this. Like those things that I mentioned, it's in your bulletin, too. But also to offer God's forgiveness and hope to those who need it. Let's stand today as I dismiss you.